Hey, listeners, I'm Christy.
And I'm Melissa. And this is Buried Motives, where we dig deep into the details of some of the most gruesome
dirtbag murderers. She said she enjoyed hurting things that can't fight back.
Like, if you were only to look at what she did later on and not know any of that history, she would appear like off the wall crazy.
Oh, 100%. She struck him on the back of his head with a frying pan, almost killing him, and was hospitalized for a severely fractured skull.
She fractured his skull. Wow. So the movie Tangled was right.
Frying pans
are dangerous.
They are. He feels like he is totally justified in the murder that he commits.
Even after he's convicted, he feels justified.
Oh yeah, to this day.
That's a confident dirtbag right there.
That's right. He believes that his victim had it coming.
Join us each Thursday as we unearth the dirtbags that live among us.
And the motives buried there. Hope you join us as we exhume the truth.
I have no desire to reform myself. My only desire is to reform people who try to reform me. And I believe that the only way to reform people is to kill them. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Crimes, Killers, Cults,
and Beer.
And I swear if technical difficulties were an alcoholic beverage, we'd both be dead by now.
Yeah, right.
Just two crazy Florida men drinking beer, talking about true crime.
And having technical difficulties.
And having technical difficulties, as usual. But
yeah, that's the story of our life, bro.
Yep. We haven't had one start off this bad in a while. This is the second go at this episode.
Dude, you're not supposed to tell them our secrets, man.
It's Pan's Ram's ghost.
Yep.
That's what you get for pushing me aside for that slave master baker.
Well, you know.
Anyway, that's Todd.
And that's Bill.
And what are you drinking, Todd?
Well, they kind of saw it already, but yeah. Rum and Coke in my powder blue sippy cup.
I'm drinking Bud Light in a brown bottle with a blue label.
I was going to get Bud Light, but my dumbass forgot to get beer. Anyway.
Surprise, surprise.
Yep.
Got a little bit of housekeeping to do. A little bit of a do.
A little bit of a do.
Okay, this is part one of a three-part episode on Carl Pan's Ram. And, and the reason being, in part one, I have 22 pages of notes. And at the end of 22 pages of notes, he's only 19 years old.
Damn.
No way we get this done in one episode. And to be honest with you, there's no way we get it done in two episodes.
not the way we digress, no.
Even if we didn't digress, I mean... You know, it's just, there's just so much information to unpack. This is, it is what it is. But, but this episode's going to come out. Well, it doesn't matter. Okay. If you're listening to this when the episode comes out, you're listening to it on Thursday when you normally do it on Friday because on Friday we're going to be at CrimeCon and I just don't want to, I'm not going to have time to mess with releasing the episode. You're gonna get this one, But if you are listening and you are at CrimeCon, find us. We'll be walking around in CKCB t-shirts, and we'll be talking to whoever wants to talk to us and everything. We'll probably be coming up to you. Hey man, listen to our podcast, but because they didn't invite us, we bought tickets.
Yeah, we had to pay.
So, but the thing is, as the at the end of the, you know, where one of the nights, either Friday night or Saturday night, we're going to record an episode. It's not going to be part two of Pan's Ram. It's going to be something else, but don't worry. It's going to be like a release as a special episode. Pan's Ram will still come. Pan's Ram part two will still come out the following Friday as normal.
Yep.
But we're going to be doing things a little bit differently. We're going to have a guest with us, and we're either going to be doing it in one of our hotel rooms, or if they let us, we're going to set up like in the corner of the lounge or something like that, if they let us. But I'm not going to hold my breath on that one. It'd be awesome if they would, but so we are going to have we're going to have a guest in there with us. We're going to have four microphones set up, and so the guest is the Broken System podcast with Robert. With Robert Palmer. With Robert Palmer.
Right on.
And he's going to be, you know, doing it with us and everything. But we're going to have another microphone, whether it's in the lounge or whether it's in one of our hotel rooms. You know, we're going to be inviting people to come and, you know, watch us as we do it. And at this episode that we're doing, I'm not going to tell you which one it is, but at the end of it, this is one of those cases that sparked a nationwide debate about vigilantism. So at the end of the episode, we're going to talk about vigilantism. You know, pros and cons, good or bad, whatever. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And if you're there and you want to get in on it, we'll have a fourth microphone set up to where you can just get up and ask a question or make a comment or whatever. So it'll be a lot of fun, but we're going to be flying by, you know, we're going to be winging it. So
indeed.
So, but what basically, you know, if you want to meet up with us, send us a message on either Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, and, you know, send us an actual message. That way we get a notification like immediately, and then we'll, you know, we'll set it, you know, we'll set up something, you know, meet up with you if you want to grab a drink or something like that, or just shoot the shit. If you don't drink, well, that's fine too.
Well, that's so, where you'll find me. I'll probably be at a bar most of the time.
Oh man. But, So yeah, I mean, it's going to be an interesting weekend. We're hoping to meet like a lot of our fans, you know, our fans. I don't like using that word. A lot, we'll be meeting some of our listeners.
Yes.
Like people, you know, like OG listeners and everything that have been with us since day one or whatever.
You know, and if you found our podcast of the first ones, God bless you. And if you're still
we'll buy you a beer. Great. I can't say that because everybody. Well, I've been listening since the first episode. Well, there will be a quiz.
There will be a quiz.
So anyway, you know, I don't have any more ado. So do you?
I actually have ado today.
You have ado?
Yes, I do.
Do you?
I do.
You have ado.
I do.
Holy crap!
I can't remember if we talked about it on the podcast or if it was just like before and after and during the week, but I've been needing to get a new phone. My phone's been, let's just say, uncooperative. So I finally went out yesterday. Was it yesterday? No, Friday. I went out Friday and I got a new phone. I have a brand new phone.
Oops. Holy crap.
Look, you can see the reflection of my computer screen in it. Cool. Anyway. That's my ado for this week. Oh, and I'm probably setting up my studio tomorrow.
Well, I hope you do.
The second sign of the apocalypse.
Yeah. So anyway, let's jump into this one because we got a little ways to go, but you know, I mean, Carl Panzram was a monster. He was probably the absolute scariest of all serial killers simply because he didn't give a damn about anyone. If he didn't like you, he'd kill you.
Yeah.
If he did like you, he'd kill you. But he probably only liked two people in his entire life, and he didn't kill those two people, so do whatever you want to with that.
Yes. Take that as you will.
One of them wound up going to prison for life.
Oh.
So he didn't have a chance to kill that guy.
Oh, so it's not that he didn't kill him because he like them more than other people. He just didn't get a chance to.
Right. And the other guy, he'll probably hear about him in part three. He probably thought about killing this guy, but he didn't. But if he could have, he would have killed every human on the entire planet. And he even said that in his biography.
Oh, so he thought he was Thanos then, huh? No, wait, no. Thanos only wanted to kill half of the people. That's right.
No, he wanted to kill every single one of them just because he hated people.
Dude, I hate people and I don't want to kill anybody.
You didn't have his childhood.
True. We've discussed this already.
But he was clearly a product of nurture. And he was probably honestly the most clear-cut example of nurture that there ever was. Okay. He was a huge man, like over 6 feet tall, and he was all pure muscle. Like Chuck Norris would flinch if Panzram was coming at him.
That's saying a lot.
Yeah, and the reason
Chuck
that he
Norris
got
ain't afraid of nothing.
But the reason he got this way is because he endured a harsh upbringing followed by literal torture in schools and correction institutes, and all before he was 15 years old. He was never afraid of prison because what else could they do to him that hadn't already been done?
I mean, this sounds familiar.
Well, there are similarities between him and like Pee-wee Gaskins or whatever, but Carl Panzram was borderline genius.
Right.
So, but you know, but Pee-wee Gaskins and Henry Lee Lucas, they all had shitty childhoods and everything, but they were both dumbasses. Panzram was not.
They were both dumbasses. Oh, but, I love it. Anyway,
but seriously, a smart serial killer, that's even scarier.
Yes, indeed.
But yes, Panzram was one of the scariest and the worst. But he also has one of the most interesting stories that there are, in my opinion, because of, you know, like I said, this is our first three-part episode. So,
yep.
The primary source of this is Ryan Greene's book, Kill Them All, A True Story of Revenge, or of Abuse, Revenge, and the Making of a Monster, along with Wiki and an article or two. So enough setups. So let's just get to it.
Yes, let's get to it.
Carl Panzram, he was born June 28th, 1891 in East Forks, Minnesota. Mm-hmm. He was the youngest out of eight boys. Now, how you get eight children and all eight of them are boys, I don't know how that's possible, but, you know.
Yeah, the odds are against it, but apparently it happens.
But his parents, Johann and Mathilda, they were
want to
Prussian.
Start a football team?
What was the first roster of the Vikings? Gonna have to look into that.
How many Panzerams are on it?
Yeah. They I tell you what, his last name should have been Panzer. P-A-N-Z-E-R.
But dude, if he was born in 1891, I don't know if they were doing the short name things to sound cooler.
No, but well, and plus the Panzer wasn't yet a thing because World War I hadn't even happened yet at that point.
True.
But soon they moved to Warren, Minnesota, and where they were granted land by the government.
Okay.
He wasn't particularly singled out for abuse by his parents, but the Panzram had a huge farm that needed maintaining, and the kids at that time, they were just free farm labor and not much else. Except the Panzrams were understaffed, even with eight kids, so Carl was fast-tracked to do the work. You know, the other kids, you know, they started later in their lives than Carl did, but they fast-tracked Carl.
Yeah, the youngest and the strongest.
Well, he wasn't the strongest at this point yet. He was five when they had him out there for the first time.
Okay, well, just the youngest then, because he don't know no better.
Yeah. So, the Panzrams, they didn't really have the experience to work the land properly. The U.S. government at the time was granting land to immigrants, just basically saying, "Here you go, good luck."
Jesus.
But their heart was in the right place.
Yeah.
But I mean, they can't, I'm looking at this from the government's point of view. They can't sit there and allocate funds to go out and train these people to do it. It's like, here you go. Use it or don't, whatever.
Yeah, right. Oh boy.
Either make it work or don't. So I can see the government side in this, because then again, you know, they'd go bankrupt if they had to train everybody. So it's just basically luck of the draw. Whoever did it, whoever made it work, great. Whoever didn't, it sucks to be you.
Yeah, right. Hey, here's a bunch of land. Sink or swim. There you go.
Basically.
Anyway.
So they weren't doing very well. But so each new kid would be a new worker, but they were also, each kid was also a new mouth to feed. So and they had multiple failed harvests, and the fact that they really didn't know what they were doing could have had something to do with why the work was so hard. Yeah, because the wrong way of doing something is never the easy way.
True. True that.
Not if you want it to work.
Yeah, not if you want it to work.
One time I was doing some work on an old van that I had and everything. I was roommates with a mutual friend, and our old drummer Brian showed up and everything. And he's like watching me, and it's like, "What the hell are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm doing this, this, and this, and this." But our mutual friend, my roommate, walks out. He goes, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, I don't remember exactly what I was doing at that point, but and then he looks over at Brian and he says, there's three ways of doing things. There's the easy way, there's a hard way, and then there's Bill's way, which is the really hard way.
Shit. Oh. Yeah. And then there's my way, which is probably even harder than all of those.
Yeah, because by the time you get to it, you'll be in a wheelchair.
Well played, sir. Well played. Hey, dude. I was not late to a gig, but I got there later than I thought I was going to be. And all my band members were like, "Dude, you're going to be late to your own funeral." I'm like, "Man, I've been saying that shit for years. Of course I'm going to be late to my own funeral. I'm late everywhere."
I think I even said that on a podcast episode, too.
You probably did, because it's the truth. That I will be late to my own funeral. It's actually going to be... what do they call that? Not your will so much. Anyway, doesn't matter. Moving on.
So, but by the time Carl was 5 years old, he was out doing the same backbreaking work that his dad and seven brothers were doing. And Johann really didn't care about school. But the state around that time made it a law that all kids must attend school from age five on.
Because the government knows what's right for you.
Yeah. But instead of cutting Carl and his brother's working hours, Johann cut sleep time.
Oh.
So before too long, Carl and his brothers were only getting about 2 or 3 hours of sleep per night.
This big, I know what literal, that's like.
literal slave labor. Because they'd get home from school and they'd be working like it's freaking nighttime out there, and they're out there plowing fields and stuff like that. But of course, the exhaustion began to take its toll.
Oh, I love it when you get tongue tied on the simple words.
Of course, exhaustion began to take its toll on Carl, and his grades began to slip, and it got worse. You know, and he'd rarely speak, and he would only speak when spoken to, and even then he'd just kind of look at you with a blank stare, like, or excuse me, but this is common with kids that suffer physical or sexual abuse. But while none of that was happening, the amount of work that he was forced to do basically had the same effect.
I imagine that
it would. So even at school, he was too tired to play with the other kids. And by the time he was seven, he was practically a zombie. But keep in mind, like I said, his brothers hadn't endured this because they weren't required to go by law to go to school at the time, and therefore they had gotten more sleep and were able to gradually get used to the intense workload. This is all being thrust on Carl at the same time when he started working on the farm. So he, you know, the rules are different for Carl.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And while they were trying unsuccessfully to push out a harvest in the spring and the summer, Carl was out in the elements most of the day, but the work didn't slow down in the winter. They had to get their land to be fertile in the hopes that it would be better the next season. So Carl was out in the bitter Minnesota cold winters most of the day and night as well, which resulted in a bad cough that never went away. More than likely a scratchy voice. and he also got a bad ear infection, among other minor ailments. The ear infection swelled up so bad that it made Carl deaf in the ear. It also affected his equilibrium, and he wasn't able to walk straight. And yeah, his family couldn't afford to take him to the doctor, so they decided to fix him themselves.
Uh-oh. This can't end well.
It does not.
It does not. Yeah, I did not. Yeah, I mean that was an easy one to figure out.
One night, the entire family held Carl down on a table, and his father tried to pierce the infection with a kitchen knife.
Oh.
Luckily, Carl passed out from the pain very early into the session, and after it was over, he was awakened by his father pouring hot water into his ear to flush it out.
Ouch.
Yeah. And I gotta say, just like I'm using Ryan Green's book for this, but Ryan Green got the majority of the content and everything from Pan's Ram's from his biography.
Oh, all right.
So, his biography was based on an interview that he gave to a prison guard. So, that he kind of developed an acquaintance with, not I wouldn't call it a friendship, but you know, just like,
all right, I'll talk to you. Out of all the people in here, I pick you. Yes. Aren't you happy?
Dude, you are not far off. You are not far off at all. I am dead serious. Did you go listen to a Pan's Ram podcast?
Well, dude, it's easy to do that. It's all of you singing metal backup vocals.
No, I'm talking about how I picked you. You should feel, you know, lucky or whatever.
Yeah.
That's what I was talking about.
No, I thought you meant his voice. Oh, so I mean, I nailed. Oh, shoot. That's two I nailed.
Yeah.
Like straight out the gate, you didn't even ask me a question.
No, but that'll be in part three.
Okay.
But I had to give you props on that one because you're pretty close to nailed that one.
Right on. I didn't even know it was a test.
Neither did I.
Neither did you. Oh, that's great. Well, as everybody knows, Bill always asks me questions like, guess what happened? I'm like, I have no idea. apparently, I'm guessing and I don't even have to be asked.
Adrenaline kicked in and Carl broke free of his brothers who were holding him down. And he tried to run off, and he fought several of his brothers who tried to restrain him. And as he was fighting, they backed off.
Oh.
Freaking 7 years old, and he's already a badass.
Hell yeah.
He was in a frenzy, and modern doctors speculate that this stupid attempt at surgery may have damaged his brain in an area that had to do with impulse control. So, from that day on.
Kind of like a lobotomy.
Yeah, but a lobotomy is in your forehead.
Know, but I didn't say kind of a similar thing.
Yeah,
perhaps. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I just play one on the internet.
His father probably thought, it's like, oh, well, they do lobotomies and they work. We'll just do one lobotomy in his ear.
Yeah, we'll just lobotomize this infection. Jesus, that's... anyway, moving on.
Yeah, that's crazy. But from that day on, Carl was wild and violent, and if he said something he didn't like, he would fight you. But Carl ultimately was hospitalized because the infection was still there and it was spreading.
Oh.
So Carl stayed in the hospital for a couple weeks for a treatment and to recover. And after this, the cost of the hospital stay bankrupted Johann, and some of his older brothers, you know, the ones that were old enough to go out and live on their own, they jumped ship.
They just fuck this, we're out.
Yeah. And Carl was becoming a holy terror. He flat out refused to do farm work, and Johann ultimately abandoned his wife, Carl, and the other sons who weren't yet old enough to fuck off on their own.
Right. So he did. That's great. I mean, not really. That's terrible, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So he's like, fuck it. These kids left. What am I still doing here? I'm out too. Peace.
Yeah.
Wow.
Then he made his way to Indiana, where he met a charming woman named Belle. No, I'm kidding. Ribbit.
Oh, dude, I was going to do it, but I didn't. I wasn't going to steal your thunder on that one.
But Carl decided to do his own thing and took in, he just ran away and he took in whatever sights that he could see. You know, we're off to see the sea, to see what we can see. But his temper was still getting worse. By now, Carl was around 9 or 10 years old. His first arrest came, take a guess.
What do you mean?
What was he arrested for?
I don't know. What did he do, beat up somebody?
Oh, he did, but that's not what he was arrested for.
Oh. I don't know. What'd he do? He killed, I mean, I don't even want to say that.
Public intoxication.
At 10 years old?
Yeah.
He was born in 1891, you said? So in 1901?
Yeah, so this is 1901. He's arrested, you know, for public intoxication.
Okay.
See, what had happened was Carl had a stash of liquor that he'd been swiping from his father. And when his father split, Carl swiped the rest of it.
As you would at 10 years old.
Yeah.
Or however old he was when that happened.
9 or 10. But this was earlier because Carl's dad split when he was like 8. So
he had quite an extensive collection of booze.
Yeah. But he was also supplied by, you know, some of the local winos in the area. But police
the local winos. Jeez, all right.
The police were initially called because Carl had been beating up two boys that were several years older than he was, and he was beating them both up. You know, but they noticed that when they noticed that he was drunk, they arrested him. And yeah, they weren't gonna arrest him, but they were like, that whiskey I smell in your breath.
Yes, sir.
Oh boy. All right.
So he was released to his mother, but he wound up back with the winos and he was in pain, but alcohol was the only thing that made the pain go away. And
I know that feeling.
So do I.
Don't we all?
But he also had a violent temper, which of course got worse with alcohol.
I know that feeling too.
Shortly later,
I never killed nobody.
Shortly later, he began stealing. He even walked right into a neighbor's house and stole a freshly baked apple pie that he had smelled from the outside.
Oh, okay.
And while he was in there, he stole a pistol that he had found in the house. Now, the pistol comes up later.
Shortly later or later, later?
Later, later.
Okay.
Well, not much later. I mean, well, yeah. Well, shortly later.
Is it going to be in this episode or the next one?
This one.
So shortly later. Okay.
Shortly later. he was arrested and the police decided to make an example out of him. And they did. Carl was sent to the Minnesota State Reform School.
For white boys? I had to do it.
Pee-wee Gaskin.
I was waiting for it.
I know you were. That's why I paused. But this was a air quote Christian facility, and it was more
for
like
white boys?
I'm done. It was more like the Spanish Inquisition.
Okay.
And he didn't expect he didn't expect what was coming.
Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition.
They preached strict discipline and purity and then enforced it with flagellation, among other neat and fun things.
Other neat and fun things.
Carl was 11 years old at the time. And he quickly learned that he hadn't been through shit at this point.
Jeez, yeah, I guess so.
The warden made all the boys call him Father. Now, Father instantly began, and I'm just going to call him Father because, but.
Hey, that's what he wanted to be called, so why not?
Yeah, so Father. I'm going to make fun of Father for the fucked up shit that he did. Father.
Father.
Oh. So Father instantly began grilling Carl about his homosexual tendencies.
Had he been showing any?
Carl was 11. He didn't have any tendencies at that point. But Father didn't believe him, and Carl soon learned the hard way what was all that was about. After his but this is all day one.
This is all day one.
Yeah. Carl was stripped naked from the waist down, and Father very closely examined Carl's genitals and his asshole for signs of sinning.
Okay.
Father then began explaining what a homosexual predator would do to a boy like him. And I'm sure Father was hard as a rock during this.
You think?
So.
Anyway, let's not go there.
Father then demonstrated some of the things.
Of course he did. I guess we're going there anyway.
Carl would know the warning signs, you know?
Oh, of course.
Yeah. He just has Carl's best interest at heart.
No, he doesn't. Jeez.
So, but yeah, we'll go with that.
Yeah.
Carl is shocked and scared, but like I said, this is only day one, and it was going to get much worse from that point on. Carl initially didn't have much of an issue with the other boys in the school, and he had a reputation of being a badass, so the other boys left him alone. And Carl didn't want to be friends with anybody either. But the next morning, two guards came and got him out of his bunk to, quote, educate him on ways that he could improve himself.
Okay.
That's not good.
What does that even mean?
Oh, well, I'm about to tell you.
All right. Well, get to it then.
They brought him to a warehouse on the property that would shape Carl into the movie monster that he became. And this place was called the Painting Room. Why was it called that? Take a guess.
Because they beat the shit out of him and it was painted with blood.
You're close.
All right. Well, okay. It's close.
Think of two different colors.
Two different colors?
Not red.
Blue and pink?
Not pink.
Not pink. Brown?
Black. Black and blue.
Black and blue. Okay.
Still, you're on the right track.
I was getting there.
So Carl thought that he was going to an art class of some sort. And so he was like, yay. He's still young at this point. Yay, painting.
Yay.
I even got the little, voice crack in there.
For, yep.
You know, pre-pubescent. But he was going to some sort of a painting class, but not the kind that he was expecting. It was called the painting room because the kids that went there, they came out black and blue.
Yes. Okay. It makes sense now.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
I don't mean to laugh, but we've been doing this for like a year and a half, man, and it still cracks me up when you trip on words like that.
And we leave them in because it cracks everybody up.
Yeah. Well, I do. We do now. I used to try to edit his words together to make the word that he meant to say, and that was just too much.
Well, and plus the ums went away. Early on, I was like, every other word. Yeah,
the ums were terrible. But, you know,
so
we've matured past the infants with attitudes that we used to be.
Right. Now we're toddlers with attitudes.
Yes, we're toddlers with attitudes.
Right. So... but it was an initiation of sorts for every new kid to shock them out of their bad behavior. And it was a place that they'd see again for anything the school deemed inappropriate, which was pretty much anything, literally, but they did. And whenever a kid went to the painting room, Father was there waiting for them.
Oh, of course he was.
Carl was stripped down and we strapped to a wooden bench, and then a towel soaked in salt water was put on his back.
Okay.
And then a vicious beating with a thick leather belt by Father began. The belt had around 100 holes poked into it, and each time the belt hit the skin was sucked into the holes and then ripped back out. And when it was ripped off of him, it would blister. And then the blisters would then be ripped open when it was hit again. Yeah, with the belt. And then the salt water would rush into the now open wound.
Yeah. Well, I figured that's where the salt water towel was going, but damn.
Yeah. I mean, that's
dude, you weren't kidding when you said Spanish Inquisition. Holy shit.
No, I wasn't. But it's important to go through all of this because it gives you an understanding of just what made this guy into what he became.
Yeah.
And fuck. And it's just going to get worse. It's just going to get worse.
It's going to get worse.
Yeah. I mean, the shit that's just like, you know, it's just like I'd give him a hug, but he would break my neck.
Yeah, he probably would.
So, Father was getting pure enjoyment off of Carl's screams, and once Carl realized that Father and the guards were enjoying his torment, he shut up. He was silent. He let them finish, and he didn't make a sound, and they amped up their beating, too. Like, damn it, scream, you little piggy or whatever. You know, but nope, Carl was just sitting there. Yeah, you know, I'm sure tears were coming out of his face or whatever, but he was not making a sound.
Freedom.
Yeah, right. And while the beatings were meant to drive the evil away from these kids, it had the opposite effect on Carl. You know, it hardened him.
Apparently. I mean, dude, yeah. If he was that young and figured out that what was going on like that, like they were getting off on him crying out and stopped doing it.
Like I told you, he's borderline genius level.
Yeah. I mean, for a kid to figure that out like that. Yeah, you're in trouble. You're in trouble.
But, nobody was, oh, damn. I meant to say something here. It's like they were trying to tenderize him, but it hardened him.
Oh, you know, yep.
At this point, Carl, we're on your side.
Right now we are. Yep.
Right now we're on your side, Carl.
Right now we're rooting for you, boy.
Mm-hmm. But even when we get into his killings and stuff like that, all the shit that happens in this first episode is going to be in the back of your mind. And it's just like, goddamn, what would have happened? What would he have become if he had had a normal childhood? You know?
Yeah.
This is total nurture. There's no nature about this whatsoever. You know, he is purely the product of a torturous and horrific upbringing.
Yep.
So, but nobody was ever going to take pleasure at Carl's expense again, but that didn't mean that they weren't going to try.
Of course not.
Right after his appointment in the painting room, he was required to go to class. And ironically, most of the lessons that were taught there were centered around Bible study, morality, and decency. Hypocrite's gonna hypocrite.
Yep, hypocrite's gonna hypocrite, that's for sure. Holy shit.
So Carl was put to work in the kitchen. He had a hand in cooking meals for Father and the other school staff. So let's just say that all of their meals and drinks had special ingredients added to them.
Oh. Oh, boy.
So Carl didn't do very well in classes, which resulted in frequent trips to the painting room. And he was there so much that the wounds never healed. But Carl wasn't going to break, and the guards took that as a challenge. And the beatings got so frequent and intense that when they did end, it ended because they were exhausted. Carl never broke. So he wore them out just by going, yeah, okay. All right. You know?
Wow.
Total fucking badass.
Hell yeah.
Oh, and this is something right out of fucking Acme. Looney Tunes.
Looney Tunes.
As a result, and this is all because of Carl. This isn't because of anybody else. This is because of Carl. Father had a hand crank whipping machine made.
Okay.
Basically, leather straps on a wheel that the boys would be placed under, and they would hand crank it and everything, and it would just go whap, 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 whap. But,
what the fuck?
But Carl actually preferred that because it didn't deal the force nearly as fiercely as the strength of a sadistic grown man.
Okay.
So that
kind of backfired on him, but all right.
Yeah, that's like right out of the fucking Acme School of Technology, you know?
Yeah, that sounds like something Wile E. Coyote would do. Holy crap.
But still, he had, you know, Carl had basically had enough, you know? You know, just like he was regularly adding secret ingredients to Father's food, but one time Carl added rat poison to the food and he was caught.
Oh.
Not, you know, it wasn't his bodily secretions that got him caught, but he left the box of rat poison. Oh, he left the box of rat poison open, like in the kitchen. So one of the guards, like, just basically deduced what had happened and he stopped the food from going out.
Okay.
But you can't punish him for this. I mean, because nothing worked. You know, it's just like you could literally hit this guy over the head with a baseball bat. He'd be like, please, sir, I'd like some more.
Can I have some of that methanol in my sardines? You got any more of that methanol back there? How about some broken glass?
Some broken glass, please. Carpet tacks, yeah.
Yeah. Keep going. I'll be right back.
Unfortunately, I don't think that Carl would have gotten along with Michael Malloy. I mean, Carl really didn't get along with anybody. Although, if there was anybody that, you know, Michael Malloy loved to drink, so maybe Carl would have gotten along with him. Who knows? You know, Michael Malloy wasn't going to try to hurt him or anything.
Right?
So, Carl was literally learning how to become a monster. And the guards were pummeling him every chance that they got. So when punishing him wouldn't work, they made him clean everything.
Everything?
Like, yeah. So, yeah, he had to clean everything. And I'm sure he cleaned bathroom floors with a toothbrush, you know. But, yeah, the guards were pummeling every chance they got, and they were raping him as well. But, you know, he was unable to take the guards, so he winds up taking it out on the smaller boys at the school. None of the boys messed with him. But no matter what the guards did to him, he wouldn't even flinch. They even tried sleep deprivation on him. But Carl, as you remember, was already used to getting 2 hours of sleep.
Yeah, right.
He's just like, okay, what else you got, bitch? You
that, know? That totally backfired.
Yeah. So like I said, it's just like we're rooting for him at this point. We want to see him, like, you know, go on like a horror movie revenge thing on the people that are actually doing him wrong. We want to see this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If Quentin Tarantino made a story of his upbringing, the ending of the story would be a lot different than what happened, because he'd basically just, you know, at like 16 years old, just go back and kill father and all that stuff, you know, kind of like he did with Inglourious Bastards, you know.
Yeah.
Like, great movie, but a lot different than how it actually happened.
You know? Yeah.
Quentin, make this movie. And get fucking Kane to play Carl.
Right. And while you're at it, make a Michael Malloy movie. We need that, too. I need that in my life.
I do, too. I think everybody needs that. No, don't make a movie. Make a miniseries, like a 6-episode miniseries.
Eh. Never mind.
I'm talking to you, Netflix.
I'm talking to you, Netflix.
Yeah.
I'm not talking to you, Disney Plus.
No. Netflix. Netflix or Amazon?
Yeah. Because of never mind. Not gonna say it. I don't want I don't want the mouse mad at me.
One night, Carl burnt down the painting room.
Okay.
He just burnt it down. And he snuck out of bed and everything and went. He, like, literally burnt the fucking painting room to the ground.
Good for him.
Yep. And this gained respect from him from all the other boys in the school, like all of them. And the older boys taught him, like, after that, they're like, okay, well, because they were going to the painting room, too. Everybody was going to the painting room. You get the painting room. You get the painting room. Everybody gets the painting room.
Whether you're bad or not.
Right.
You're just going.
He doesn't care if you've been bad or good. He's going to whoop your ass for goodness sake. That just popped into my head. That was right off. That was not. That was not in the notes. So they're like, look, Carl, if you want to get out of here, this is what you got to do. You have to tell the brass how, you know, whatever they want to hear. You just that, you know, suck it up, lie to them. You know you're lying. We know you're lying, and we don't care because we're doing the same fucking thing.
Right.
You know, but it worked. Carl actually did it. He actually took their advice and it worked. He began doing well on his schoolwork. And yeah, but at this time, Carl there was like public enemy number one in that school. He was the baddest apple there. So, but the guards were all, you know, father and the guards, they're all patting themselves on the back about how they had cured him.
Okay.
Meanwhile, he's just sitting here. I got you. Like, yeah, I got you where I want you, bitches.
Right.
But within a month, he was released. A changed man. They're probably like in their brochures or whatever. I mean, I kind of take this school as kind of like similar to what Nora was talking about. This is basically the precursor to the troubled teen industry bullshit.
Yeah,
you know,
I was thinking the very same thing.
Yeah, so basically, if they're sending out literature to these people, oh, if you got a troubled kid or whatever, look at what we did for this guy Carl, you know.
Look at it now before it changes.
Yeah,
because it ain't gonna last.
No, it's not.
That boy Carl was too smart. He saw right through our little ruse.
So he had been there for 2 years and doing torture daily. And Carl grew up, settled down, got a job, married a woman. They had 3 kids. They had a house with a white picket fence and a Labrador retriever named Sparky.
No, they didn't.
No, they didn't.
Oh, that was good, though. But no, they didn't. I can guarantee you that they didn't.
You know what would have been better? If he had actually gone to the electric chair, that would have made that even funnier. But he didn't go see old Sparky.
He didn't ride the lightning? All right.
No. Oh, fumble!
Oh, fumble. Who got it?
I don't know yet. It's a pile. Looks like the Dolphins got it. Looks like the Dolphins got it. Yeah, I'm watching the Dolphins and the Patriots game right now. It would have been done. We would have been done recording the episode by the time the game started, but if it wasn't for all these damn technical difficulties.
Yeah, this one's worse than the Glory episode.
Yeah, but we're making it through this one in first try, slowly but surely. I mean, this is actually part 3 of part 1 of a 3-part series. We were going to have to piece them together. That's why, if you notice, if you're watching the video, you see it's like I'm all washed out right now. That's because it's just because things are different, because I gotta wash my fins. I'm representing. See, I got the Dolphins t-shirt on.
Yeah.
So anyway, so that's like, you might hear me go bubble or touchdown or whatever, or you might even hear me go fuck. But right now, fumble, and the Dolphins recovered. So yay, go Fins, Fins up. Anyway. # but I digress.
How did we get through last football season without doing this shit?
We didn't record on Sundays. So what came out of that school was a monster who lived his life by preying on the weak to get what he wanted and hating humanity as a whole. But put a knife in that, because we're not there yet. So Carl went back home, but the farm was a wreck, and one of his brothers had actually drowned.
Oh, damn it.
And his mother was bedridden, and Carl was happy because he wouldn't have to work the farm.
Well, I guess you gotta look for the silver lining.
Yeah. He went back to the drinking and stealing, and now he was mugging people. He actually preferred to groan, he actually preferred to mug grown men successfully. Those were his favorite target. You know why?
Because the preacher beat him up, father beat him up, and he had a...
No.
Oh?
Had nothing to do with that. It's because a grown man is not going to admit that he got mugged by a 12-year-old kid. And Carl figured that out. Like I said, guy's borderline genius.
Yeah. I mean, dude, if I got mugged, I don't care how old the person is. I'm snitching.
Yeah. But then, I mean.
Yeah, I know. Different times and all.
Yeah. So, Carl also became acquainted with a Native American boy who would become his criminal sidekick. That's racist. No, but it's just, he was a Native American boy and he became the guy's sidekick. And they would rob them. They would rob men, strip them naked, and then make them run off in the buff.
Okay.
He got off on that, and he hadn't raped anybody, but put a knife in that.
Hold on. My knife. I can't find my knife. I found it.
He was also bringing in considerable amounts of money from these people that he ganked, robbed.
Oh, yeah.
But in an actual, in a what the actual fuck moment, Carl told his mother that he wanted to become a priest. Yeah.
What the fuck?
So she sent a letter to a seminary school, and he was admitted, and everybody liked him there except for one person. There was one teacher there who was also a priest, and he was a German, and he didn't believe that Carl was genuine and that he lacked faith. But somehow, and Carl must have been paying attention when he was at the previous school, because they, you know, they beat the Bible. You know, they literally beat him with the Bible, among mm-hmm. other things. Carl was somehow able to throw scripture right back at this guy.
Ooh.
And, you know, and they would get into screaming matches and everything. And finally it got to the point to where the leaders of the seminary got involved, and Carl was punished severely. And the priest who had the beef with Carl, he was allowed to administer the beatings.
That doesn't seem fair.
No.
Or right. What the how?
I mean, you would think that you would want somebody to, you know, like a student in one of those schools to be able to rattle off scripture the way that Carl did. Mm. But no, it's insubordination at that point. Yeah, because you're making the priests look bad, you know. So you can't have that. Can't have somebody knowing more than
right
that. So
anyway,
but of course his beatings had the same effect that the ones from the reform school did, and you know it pissed him off.
Yeah.
You know, although this preacher who was beating him now, he was an amateur compared to the sadist at the Reform School.
Yeah. Never mind. I don't even want to get started on that.
Yeah.
Because if we get started on that, this is an entirely different episode.
So to cope, Carl would do minor robberies for liquor, you know, for liquor money. But that escalated when he realized that people in war in Minnesota left their doors unlocked when they weren't home.
Oh boy.
Carl still had the pistol that he had stolen a few years prior, and he carried it with him wherever he went. And on Carl's last day of the seminary school, the priest confronted him, demanding more proof that he understood the teachings. And Carl had done this countless times before. It was possible that the priest was intimidated by Carl because of how much he actually knew. But it's also possible that the priest was a good judge of character and saw the monster that Carl was.
Yeah, I can see that.
So, you know, so I was just like, yeah, either way. But whatever the case, the priest began beating Carl, and the pistol fell out of Carl's clothes.
Row, row, ready.
The priest froze, and Carl picked it up and he cocked it, and he pointed at the priest. He walked up close to the priest, and he pointed it right between the priest's eyes, and he pulled the trigger.
Oh.
Click.
Don't tell me he was out of bullets.
No, the gun was loaded. But Carl hadn't taken care of the gun over the years. It had gotten like all bogged down because he had been like hiding it and everything and like under beds and stuff like that. And it wasn't like wrapped in anything or put in a box. So it just like got bogged down with dust.
Oh, let that be a lesson to you boys and girls. Always maintain your firearms.
Right. It, you know, Carl hadn't taken care of it and it simply wouldn't fire. He pulled the trigger several more times and nothing.
Wow.
Yeah. You have to keep guns clean, and Carl hadn't. You know, so Carl was restrained by a couple teachers who had come in to investigate what the commotion was. But the seminary didn't want to get the police involved because an investigation might uncover other things. So they agreed that Carl, just go. You know, yeah. No recourse for... Yeah. No recourse for the attempted murder.
No shit. He pulled the trigger like 3 or 4 times. He was trying to kill that dude.
He was trying to kill that dude.
I mean, like once. Okay, that was an accident. I didn't mean to pull the trigger. But like 3 or 4 times, you tried to empty that damn gun into that.
Yeah.
You wanted that person dead. Yeah. There's no getting out of that one.
Nope. But he got away with it. They kept the gun. But the gun was useless anyway, so.
I mean, just needs cleaning. Well, it'll be fine. Yeah, let's clean it.
Yeah, just clean it. And I'm sure that whoever did it, they cleaned it and they had themselves a pretty nice pistol.
Right?
But Carl then went home, packed a bag, and then took off. The monster was loose.
Release the Kraken.
The Kraken was released. So Carl wanted to go far away, and horses were still being used for transportation, and while cars did exist, hitchhiking hadn't become a thing yet. So that left one option. Take a guess.
Did he get on a train?
He did.
Yeah, I got it right. First try. That doesn't happen often.
But trains had risk. You know, train tickets were expensive, and security made it impossible to jump onto a passenger train for free, so that left freight trains.
Yep.
Freight trains were a popular way for transient, homeless, mentally ill, and criminals to get around. You know, just hop on an empty boxcar and enjoy the ride.
Yeah.
You know, Carl, while being numb to abuse, he had no ability to read people, and that would become a problem for him.
Okay.
His initial encounters with train folk were positive. Carl kept to himself unless a group of hobos were passing a bottle of whiskey around, but that kind of lowered his guard because, you know, he thought that everybody was cool like this.
Oh.
But he would soon learn the harsh reality of hobo train life.
Okay.
He jumped on a train headed to Nebraska, and there were four older men already on board the car that he had hopped onto. And these four men had been traveling together for years, and they shared everything equally. That was their routine.
Right.
But they had whiskey, and they were more than happy to share it with a 14-year-old boy.
Yeah.
After it's Carl had
them jeans.
You're exactly right. And after Carl had loosened up a bit, one of them said, "Listen, kid, there's a thing we all like to do together that feels real good, and we think you'll enjoy it as much as we do."
Oh, my God.
Carl wasn't fazed when they started undressing. I mean, he had already seen more dicks than a frickin' porn actress today sees in a day.
Okay.
He knew what they had in mind. And he's just like, "Nah, you know what? I'm good. I've had enough fun for one night." Oh, excuse me. He said, "No, I'm good. I've had enough fun for one night."
Night. And I'm sure they were like, "Oh, no, you haven't, kid. Damn it."
Right.
Like, you fucking sliding out of this freaking chair, dude. It's killing me.
The men ignored him. It was 4-on-1. But Carl fought hard, but they still overpowered him. All four of them raped him repeatedly that night. And when they were done, they literally tossed Carl out of the boxcar while the train was moving.
Oh.
Carl survived.
Well, of course he did, or we wouldn't be telling this story.
Right. Well, actually, no, he didn't survive, and thanks for listening. No. But
April Fools.
He woke up the next morning and touchdown, Fins! Sorry.
I don't think that's what he said.
Well, he would have if he was watching the game that I'm watching. Of course, he's a Vikings fan. But I don't even think football existed back then. I don't know.
No, dude. I mean, dude, you said he was 14 when this happened?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was what? He was born in 91, so. Dude, we're talking like the very early 1900s.
Yeah. I think college football existed in its infancy back, you know, at that time. But pro football was still probably at least 20, 30 years away.
The pro football, like the first Super Bowl was in the 60s.
Yeah, but there was championships long before that.
No, I know. I mean, dude, I know football's been around longer than that.
Why do you think Green Bay is called Title Town? Because they've got like 20 titles, but only 2 Super Bowl rings. Well, 3. 3.
See, I didn't even know that because I don't really care about football. I know. I just, I know. Here's my man card. Take it.
No, it doesn't matter if you're not into football. I just happen to be into football.
And there's nothing wrong with that either.
Nope. No, I'm not going to punch your man card for you not liking football. A lot of people don't like football. A lot of people do. So,
I mean, if I'm sitting at a bar, football's on, I'll watch it, but I don't get crazy over shit like that. Anyway, we digress. No hashtag on that one. We just do it.
We just did it. Okay. So the Carl woke up the next morning and he slowly crept to the next town. Lesson learned, it was every man for himself. And he deduced that sodomy must be a normal thing in life for the strong to take from the weak. So he's just like, okay, I'm all in. And although nobody was going to take him again, he was humiliated by those hobos, made to feel weak. Never again. Carl would turn on humanity before humanity turned on him. Keep in mind, he was a 14-year-old with that mindset.
Yeah.
God damn, I just, you know.
Sorry, I'm moving my mic again. I'm trying to get comfortable here.
Just, you, how can you not feel bad for him at this point?
I know, dude. The poor, I mean.
Dude never stood a chance. He never stood a chance.
He didn't.
I'm telling you, dude. It's like we're getting rid of all the nasty stuff that was done to him in this one.
Yeah.
But in the next two, we're going to be talking about the nasty stuff that he does to other people.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
But,
because I, like you said earlier, dude, I'm rooting for this kid right now, but
yeah, I know
better. I know better.
Yeah. So, but still, it's natural for this. It's natural for the story. And even when you're talking, even when we get into the gruesome stuff that he does, you're still just like, God, look at how he was brought up though. I mean, and it's like, I didn't even feel like Danny Rowling when we covered him. I didn't feel bad for, I mean, I felt bad for him because, you know, his dad was a piece of shit, but his dad was nowhere near the piece of, the piece of shit that this dude endured from everybody he came into contact with.
Yeah. Pretty much every grown up in his life was a piece of shit.
Yeah. And it's just, it's like even going forward, it's just like, yeah, was he a piece of shit? Did he deserve what he got for what he did? Yeah, he's one of the most notorious serial killers that the United States has ever had. But, and definitely the scariest. But, absolutely he deserves the punishment that he got. But still, in the back of your mind, you're thinking, what the fuck?
What the fuck? Exactly.
It's like this wouldn't have happened if he had just been raised right, you know?
Yeah. Or maybe it still would have. Who knows?
Honestly, I'm betting on it wouldn't have.
Probably, yeah. Honestly. I mean, yeah, me too. It wouldn't have, but you never know.
So
some kids just have a head full of bad wiring, you know.
Yeah, but that's nature. This is not nature. This is nurture.
I know, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. It all started when his dad tried to be a surgeon, and
yeah, don't pretend to be doctors.
Right. That'll come up in the Anthill Kids episode on a much larger scale.
Yeah. I'm sure.
I'm just trying to prepare you for that one.
I'm still trying to decide if I'm just going to sit here and like be producer or if I'm actually going to take part in it. I don't know. I'll do it. I have to. I know. It is what it is.
I don't know, because the only book on that is called Savage Messiah, and it's out of print, and the book was initially written in French, and it's just like the only books that you can find are like $100 a piece. I'm not paying $100 for a book to do a podcast episode on, so Anthill Kids, unless I can piece it together with like a bunch of articles, I want to tell the whole story, because that's what we do here. We tell everything. We're not like a 30-minute episode where they're just reading the Wikipedia page and, you know, and...
Like, we do use Wiki, though, so it's all right.
We use Wiki for certain things.
Yes.
Certain things. Like backstory, Wiki's good for that. But everything that happened after the backstory, not so much. then you're just getting the just stripped down version of it and everything. You're not getting all the details. But still, anyway, hashtag, but I digress. But like I said, he was 14 years old at that point, and shortly later, he was sexually assaulted again.
Again? I thought he said he wasn't going to let that happen to him anymore.
Well, let me tell you what happened. He had been avoiding the transients and everything, but he was broke and he was thirsty. Dude needed a drink. So he found a group of people and he joined in with them. You know, he got buzzed but not drunk, and he struck up a conversation with an older man who was genuinely interested in everything that Carl had to say. They were sharing a bottle, and the more comfortable Carl got, the more he drank. And you know, the man was clearly seducing Carl. And and he starts talking about sodomy, how great it is, and all that stuff and everything. And Carl was actually into having a consensual encounter with this man.
Okay.
He was seduced.
Nothing wrong with that.
Well, there's something wrong with what happens next. The man kept the liquor flowing, and he led Carl. Well, also, this is a grown man. Carl's 14, so there's a lot wrong with that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you kind of forget about that because you it's like everything that this guy's going through and everything, you expect it to be a grown man, but it's not.
But he's not, yeah. Damn it. All right, yeah. You're right. There's a lot wrong with that. Never mind.
So, I mean, he led Carl to a barn, and they were discussing taking turns so that they could both enjoy it. Carl said that he wanted to go first because he had never given it before.
Oh, okay.
But then the man just basically, you know, keep in mind they're in a barn. Then the man just basically said, "Hey, come on.
Uh-oh.
Come on, boys."
Oh,
called
no.
out to his friends who were hiding in the barn.
Why is it always a barn?
And they all took turns raping him. You know, lucky for Carl, he passed out because he was schnockered. But when he woke up the next morning alone in the barn, his head actually hurt more than his ass did.
From the hangover, or because they beat him?
The hangover. Okay. The hangover.
Oh man, that's terrible! Holy shit!
Yeah. But if there was any doubt in his mind before, the second lesson cemented it in his head. You know, sodomy with boys must be an incredible thing because so many men wanted it. The world was his oyster.
Wow.
And once again, 14-year-old with that mindset.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I want to say this poor kid, but, you know, at this time, yes, this poor kid, but, you know.
At this time, yeah.
Oh, geez. Okay.
So Carl began heading back east and everything. He was being careful of hobos. The only time he would approach one was if the hobo was alone and if he wanted something, whiskey or food. But he had also began raping people.
I was just going to say whiskey, food, or sex.
Yeah, just like it's on. I'm taking it. I'm gonna be the man for once.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just. But he had stolen a gun, which gave him a sense of security, and he also had a desire for revenge on all hobos.
On all of them, not just the ones that got him. Every fucking
all
one of them.
If he came across a group of them, he would force them to have sex at gunpoint. Like with each other.
With each other,
And with him.
Oh.
He would make them rape each other, and then he would take it. One time a railroad employee caught him, you know, caught him in a boxcar where he was raping a man. Carl grabbed the railroad worker and forced the hobo to rape the employee.
Jesus.
And then he raped both of them.
Wow.
You want to laugh, but you can't. You know,
it's like, I know. I'm not rooting for him anymore.
No, I'm not either.
Fuck this guy. I didn't mean it like that.
I know.
Oh, jeez. The fuck. All right. Well,
back in Minnesota, Carl was arrested for robbery, and because he was under 18, he was sent to the Red Wing Training School.
For white boys?
Yeah.
I know. I said I wasn't going to do it again, but I couldn't help it.
No, it's worth doing it every time something like that comes up. Because, yeah, it's just what happened in the Pee Wee Gaskins episode, that was on the fucking Wikipedia page. I mean, it might still be. I don't know. But I think at the time I posted a screenshot of it just to prove it. I think I did. But
yeah, because we didn't, that one didn't go away that entire episode. Kind of like this one.
Kind of like everyone.
Yeah, anytime you mention some kind of reform school or everything, yeah, it's always for white boys.
For white boys? Yeah. Oh, man.
Anyway.
Changing a battery in my vape.
All right.
Okay. Okay. This place was a cakewalk for Carl, and they had him doing farm work, which Carl knew how to do. He didn't get tired out from the work, which other kids did, you know, who were there.
Right.
And the punishments were very mild compared to what he was used to. So Carl began raping boys during the night, threatening them if they said anything, and all of the boys were afraid of him except a 15-year-old boy named Jimmy.
Jimmy.
Yeah, Jimmy wasn't a big guy. But while all the other kids avoided Carl, Jimmy started just talking to him. Just like, hey man, what's up? You know, so they became friends, or as close to what Carl could ever have as a friend.
Right.
Carl and Jimmy began coming up with an escape plan, and you know, like I said before, Carl was extremely intelligent, although there wasn't really anything intelligent about this escape plan. They just walked off the property in the middle of the night and vanished into the woods. You know, this wasn't one
so
of those.
So there was no rock hammer and a poster of Rita Hayworth or anything like that?
No, there was none of the crazy elaborate shit that you know, like Pee Wee Gaskins did and everything. But that's coming in part two.
I was going to say, it's probably going to happen later.
Yeah.
It has to, because, yeah. Anyway.
So, but Carl had revenge in mind.
Of course he did.
Since the abuse that took his childhood happened in religious organizations, he targeted churches. Yeah, he and Jimmy would break into churches and steal whatever they could, then they would light the churches on fire. They burned a lot.
Did they go to Norway?
I'm getting there. No, they didn't go to Norway, but they burned lots of torches.
Torches.
They learned they.
Well, you know, you use a torch to burn down a church, therefore it's a church.
The torch. The torch.
It's a church. Dude, I'm gonna write a book with all these words you make up. When you get tongue tied, it's gonna be great. It'll be like Sniglets from Not Necessarily the News back in the 80s.
But that would mean you'd have to go back and listen to every single episode we've done. Because
I'm
going
to have to do that anyway, so. Yeah, every episode's about to get at least one more listen.
But they had likely burned even more churches than the Norwegian black metal band members had burned. Episode 14, by the way.
Episode 14, by the way.
They had lots of money from all of the things that they had stolen, but they moved around so much they were impossible for the police to track. They were two peas in a pod.
They go together like peas and carrots.
But nothing lasts forever.
Very true.
Jimmy got busted for trying to sell some stolen candlesticks, and he was sent to a real prison, both for the stolen goods and for escaping from the previous Senate.
Dude, how can you give Jimmy more time, dude? They just walked off. You dumbasses let them go.
Right.
I mean, yeah, I get it. They escaped. But, I mean, seriously, nobody was paying attention. If you could just walk off the...
Jimmy wound up being in prison for the rest of his life, and he died of old age in prison.
Okay.
But he never gave Carl up.
Well, good for him.
So, you know, he had a friend. You know, Carl did have a friend. He may not have considered Jimmy a friend, but Jimmy considered Carl a friend.
Right. Carl had a friend in Jimmy.
Say that again.
I said Carl had a friend in Jimmy.
Carl was shook up about what happened to Jimmy, so he took to the rails again, and he kept to himself, just did his own thing, robbing, raping, drinking, etc. What are your traditionals? What tradition?
Traditionals going in the book.
What are your credentials? Theft, rape, robbery, and rape. You said rape twice. I like rape.
You said rape twice.
I like rape.
Fuck.
He rode a blazing saddle. So,
are we awake? Well, that depends. Are we black? We are. Well, then we're awake, but we're very puzzled.
Where's all the white women at?
Oh, Jesus.
I swear I want to go to like a university and like rent out one of the auditoriums there and do a screening for the college kids of Blazing Saddles.
Oh my God, dude, they would lose their friggin' minds.
Like what?
Oh no, they would because.
Oh, I know.
I mean, that movie was done. I mean, yeah, okay, it comes off racist, but it was done. I mean, the black people that were in that movie were in on it. They got it. You know what I mean? So yeah, it's not like it was racist.
It was illustrating absurdity by being absurd.
Yes, exactly.
Like. It's showing how stupid racism is.
Yes.
That's what that movie was about. And I'm, you know, and that's why attempts to cancel that movie have been unsuccessful because, you know, people who know the fucking truth about what a great fucking piece of work that movie is.
There's too many people our age that love that movie and get it.
Yeah. But I would love to do that. Just host a screening at a university. With peace.
That would be the end of you. I'll be far, far away from that.
Oh, bullshit. You'd be right there with me.
But I'd be armed. Anyway. Dude, this episode's only gonna be an hour long with all the damn digressions.
Nah.
No. I know, cause you gotta leave some in, cause some of it's funny.
Yeah. But, he had a good amount of money, you know, from what he and Jimmy, and of course he took Jimmy's take as well. But when that dried up, he found himself in Plano, Kansas. Not Plano, Kansas. He was 15 at this point, and he wanted to be a cowboy when he was growing up.
Never mind.
It was a childhood dream of his, but since he couldn't do that, he joined the Army. The Indian Wars were still going on out west, so he figured he'd kill Indians that way.
Okay.
He lied about his age to get in, which wasn't hard because he looked considerably older than he actually was. He showed up at the recruiter's office drunk.
Why not?
And they were still interested in him because of his size and mass, and they told him to come back when he was sober. So he did, and he was in.
Times were different back then.
Yeah, indeed. He was great with weapons, and he had a super endurance to physical training and everything, and obviously. Yeah. But he still had a rebellious streak, and the officers were divided on him. Some thought that he was just a punk kid who wanted to beat everybody up, while others thought that he could be molded into a great leader, especially in battles.
All right.
But Carl didn't like being sober.
Who does?
Still, most of the men that that he was in with were older and stronger than him, so he wasn't really able to beat up on people, and he certainly wasn't going to be able to rape. He got his first paycheck, and it was gone the same day that he got it, and he snuck off base to drink, and the next day he was hungover and broke.
What, they didn't have a bar on base, dude? That's the cheapest place to drink.
No, different times.
Yeah.
Anyway. You know, army posts weren't back then the way that they are now, where they're like miniature cities, you know?
Yeah.
Or in some cases, big cities like Fort Bragg and Fort Campbell. They're bigger than some smaller cities in the country.
Oh yeah.
It wasn't like that back then. Back then, it was just like probably like 2 or 3 acres surrounded by freaking, you know, like trees lined
and razor
up.
Razor wire.
Yeah.
But, I'm going to hell.
No, they had bricks. They had bricks. They had bricks.
They had bricks. So. All right.
But still, it was one area, not like an entire city like a military post is now.
Yeah.
But, you know, so it's the next day, you know, so he began stealing uniforms and sneaking off base to sell them. And he got caught. And stealing army property was a big no-no. And the officers didn't know how to punish him. Once again, they were divided. Some wanted to charge him with fucking treason for stealing military property.
Yeah.
While others were saying he was just young, you know, he was young and just made a mistake. Yeah, some people were just like really like sold on. It's just like, okay, look at this guy. Look at him.
We need him.
You could shoot him in the chest 5 times and he would not. He would still keep coming. Down.
He would still keep coming. We need this guy.
Yeah. So it's just like, okay, I can see both arguments, you know, going back at the time, you know, I can see both arguments.
Yeah. I don't know.
This made it up. You know, this back and forth made it all the way to William H. Taft, who was Secretary of War for President Theodore Roosevelt.
Nope.
Taft would later become President of the United States. But Taft decided to make an example out of Carl, and he was dishonorably discharged, and he would serve time in Leavenworth, which was, at the time, was the toughest prison in the country. And Carl was angry at Taft for this, and I will have my revenge on Taft.
Oh, no.
I'm sure at this point his voice isn't cracking anymore, so I can just go with the regular Carl Panzram voice.
There you go. All right, then.
So the guards at Leavenworth would place bets on how long new arrivals would last, and none of them bet on Carl.
Right.
Carl was 16 years old, and even though he was tough, the men there were rapists and murderers. And Carl, you know, Carl was in the big leagues now, but he showed no fear, which had worked for him before, but not now.
Yeah, not so much.
The prisoners were divided into companies, and if one person in a company screwed up, the entire company was punished.
Yeah.
So Carl would rebel, which meant bad things for everybody. And the other prisoners in his company, they weren't having it. So they would attack him, and he fought back, and he would get messed up pretty bad. But he was learning a new skill.
Yeah.
Brutality.
Right. Because, you know.
Yeah. Within a month, he was winning most of the fights.
Oh, all right. Within a month.
Within a month.
Okay. I still hate him, but that's okay. Yeah. Good for him.
Then Carl earned respect from some of the prisoners. You know, after he was like, he's like, I'll take on all comers, you know. And
this motherfucker just won't go down. And not in that way, pervs.
I swear Carl and Boone Helm would have gotten along.
Yeah. I was thinking the same thing.
But Carl doubled down with his attitude toward the guards, but that got him beaten to within an inch of his life.
Yeah.
And the prisoners would have to finish Carl's workload when they finished there. So once again, he wasn't very popular with the prisoners.
Not a popular man.
Right. But just wait. Put a knife in that.
Oh, shit.
The guards would put prisoners into straight jackets and tighten them to the point to where the prisoner passed out. This, along with repeated beatings, was a daily occurrence. And I'm sure there's probably some raping, too, once they had passed out.
There's always raping.
Yeah. Some prisoners were starting to, it's like, look at him. You know, he's taking all this shit. So they would form around him, shielding from the guard's view, like protecting him. So it's like, see, some of the prisoners are warming up to him. So once again, he was gaining popularity from the prisoners, because no matter how badly the guards treated him, he would get back up and be like, next?
Is that all you got?
Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?
But he was ever defiant, and a year into his sentence, he was every bit as strong as the toughest man in the prison.
Persist, that's going in the book.
he was about 3 or 4 times stronger than the average American man at the time. He was basically the Hulk.
Yeah, right.
Several times the guards would beat him with batons, and the baton would break. Carl wouldn't even flinch. He was just like, oh, there's a mosquito on my back. What the fuck?
Right? You know? That's, oh my God.
When Carl first arrived, he was raped, and now he was seeking out the prisoners who had raped him, giving them a triple helping of a dish served cold.
It's very cold in space.
Now he was what Pee Wee Gaskins called a power man. And he actually felt free. So Carl left Leavenworth at the age of 19, eager to unleash holy terror on the world. And he was more than capable of doing just that. And that's where we're going to wrap up part one.
Oh, okay.
You know, that was a good place to wrap it up.
Perfect spot.
He just left Leavenworth, and he just really hates everybody at this point. And he's about to, you know, he's about to unleash a one man reign of terror.
Right on. Well, not right on, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So what do you think about this one going, you know, so far? I mean, I know it's a horrible story, but what do you think about it as far as like a true crime story?
Oh, it's a good one. I mean, it's like you said, it's definitely, nurture, not nature. And, fuck yeah. How to Create a Monster is a pretty good title for this.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
And create a monster they did.
Yes, they did.
And, but yeah, that was just, Yeah, it's just like I wanted a Carl.
You wanted a Carl.
I wanted
Bill. I thought you said the Bud Light wasn't doing anything to you.
You asshole. That was a good one. I got to give you props for that one. That was a good
one. Gotcha.
Yeah, you got me.
Yeah. Anyway.
But I usually don't do the shit after the episode. I think that's the first time I've done that after the episode.
I know, right? Because you're not reading notes. You're just talking now. Anyway.
But I've wanted to cover Carl Panzram for a while, but I knew that it was like a really long episode and everything. And it's just like, and to be honest with you, you know, it's just like this is another sign of us growing as a podcast. We used to be like, oh, we don't like doing 2-part episodes. Well, now we're doing a 3-part episode. And I'm going to stop looking at it that way as doing a 2-part episode or a 3-part episode, or maybe even sometime in the future, a 4-part.
Don't.
If we cover Jonestown, that's going to be at least a 4-part episode.
That'll be an entire month.
Yeah. So it's just like, I'm gonna start looking at it differently and everything because, yeah, just like, I'm getting better at writing these and telling the story, yes. You know?
Uh-huh.
And it's just like, so a 2-part, a 3-part, or even a 4-part or whatever, it's gonna
whatever
be
whatever it takes
a lot
to tell the story, right?
Right, right. So, I mean, some of the 2-point, you know, the 2-point conversions. Hey, I was looking
at
the game. No, but some of the 2-part episodes from before, I did a good job on, like Boone Helm. That did a good job on that one.
Yeah,
but some of them I didn't. BTK.
don't listen to that one, by the way.
Yeah, wait till we redo it.
Wait till we redo it.
Yeah, we are going to redo it. So,
all right.
But anyway. Seriously, if you're hearing this on like Thursday or Friday or even Saturday or whatever, just, you know, like check our socials and everything. If you're going to be at CrimeCon, you know, like meet up with us and everything. We'd love to talk to you and everything. And, you know, it's like, I'm thinking more than likely we're going to do the, I don't know when we're going to do the recording. I have no idea. So, but. Just, we're going to announce all of it on the socials. And so, we're winging all of that. So, like, most people that
that's
are at
Crime Con.
Yeah. Most people that are at Crime Con probably aren't even going to hear this episode until after Crime Con when they're going back home to wherever they live or whatever.
If they even listen.
They listen. The numbers show that. Touchdown, Dolphins.
Oh, here we go.
Tyreek Hill.
Anyway.
I think it was Tyreek. Oh, let me watch the replay.
Let me watch the replay.
I saw Tyreek like cheering in the end zone, but he didn't have the ball in his hand. So let me see.
Well, it probably wasn't him then, unless he spiked it.
Nope, it was him. So, but yeah, seriously, just keep up with that, and you know, just keep up with that stuff. We're definitely going to do that. We have another podcaster coming in with us to record an episode with us and all that stuff. It's just so we've got some stuff going on that we're kind of piecing together, even though we didn't do it, and you know, even though we weren't invited.
Yeah,
but
well, you know, we're new still.
Yeah,
they get invited.
Dude, human monsters even, like applied to it.
Yeah.
And they turned him down. So that doesn't make me feel good about our future anytime soon. As far as like being invited to the Crime Con, if they turned down human monsters.
Yeah.
That's one of the top dogs.
Right. Well, we'll be one too soon.
Yep. So
anyway.
Anyway, you know, thanks a lot for listening and everything. You know, check us out on our socials. We've already done the socials and everything. They're all linked in the episode description. 5-star review would be nice and everything. You know, so far the only review that we have is the monotone one. And so it's just like, come on, hook us up, people.
Right.
Yeah, serious.
We're not that bad. Like
we have a good core group of OGs.
And I know, right?
Hook us up on Apple. Well, maybe they only listen on Spotify or whatever, because you can't leave reviews on Spotify.
Yeah, that's for, could be. Anyway.
But
until, I say anyway too fucking much, dude. Goddamn.
Until next week. Later.
Cheers, everybody.
She's